Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg, co-host Green Diva Lisa, and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
All right. I guess that means we're on the air. We're all kind of all over the place. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Thank you to our audience there. Yay. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lisa.
And Green.
I'm sidekick.
Yeah,
Green Diva Paul.
Whoa.
Green Diva Paul. I love Green Diva Paul.
Yes, yeah. I'm feeling girly today.
Aw, it doesn't sound like
it's my
like
morning
it.
Voice.
Yeah.
But we need your testosterone.
Okay, then I'll be a dude.
We're
missing Scotty, but we're really thrilled that Paul could jump in last minute and join us.
Indeed.
Thrilled to be here.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun stuff going on.
Absolutely.
Is it winter out there? I'm not sure. This last week was so nice.
Well, I think there's been more humidity, so it's been cold in the morning. The air's been cold, but it's the temperature hasn't been that. I'm confused.
Yeah.
I have a feeling nature is a bit confused, too. Plants don't know
what
season it is.
And you know why I mention that? Because this week we have a Sleeping Naked is Green segment on shoveling snow and de-icing. And I'm like, well, yeah, haven't had any practice with that except for last October.
Our listeners in Colorado are going to be able to use it. And I know my friends in Montana have 79 inches of snow.
What? 79 inches
79
of snow? That's
inches
ridiculous.
Of snow, right. Yeah. My one young friend can't even drive her car.
Yeah. Well, I remember one time we were in Lake Tahoe. It was the only time in my life I prayed for it to stop snowing because it was 10 feet of snow. It was avalanche dangerous, you know. Anyway, so... Lisa, tell us about the European Wax Center in Denville.
Well, once again, we love the European Wax Center in Denville, and we want to let everybody know that you can try them out for free. All their products are natural. It's not just about removing hair. It's about revealing beautiful skin.
Well done. And how can people find out about the European Wax Center?
They can go to our website and find the number or Google and make sure that they go to Denville, New Jersey. And if they mention the Green Divas when they go there, they get to be in the drawing for a beautiful basket of fun, natural products.
Yeah, there you go. There's another good reason to mention your Green Divas. You heard it here first.
And support Denville. They really
rallied
around the crisis of that last storm.
Well, not just the last storm, but of course Hurricane Irene this summer.
Yeah, that's actually the one I was speaking of.
In October when we had all that snow, electricity was out for a long time, even in the businesses there in Denville. Yeah. So they've really taken a hit.
Well, I'm thrilled to say that we do have one of our favorite places in Denville coming on board as a sponsor. You'll hear from them next week.
Oh.
Yeah, Grassroots. Our friend Paul.
Yeah, terrific. Right? Yeah, it's a great store.
Great deli. You know, as much as Whole Foods is like a great place and all that, and it's got lots of good stuff, I love going in my local health food store, right? I mean, don't you love going in your local? You know,
absolutely.
It's like going to be local.
Support the independents.
And the other thing that Paul really does is all of the products, they have great sales. I kind of pick my menu about what's on sale and try new things, which is, are about. But all of their products are under the suggested retail price. So, a lot of times when you think of going to a smaller local store that you think you're going to have to pay more, that's not the case with this store.
Yeah, he works really hard. But he got hit hard by Irene.
Yeah, it's surprising because it's raised from the street.
But we benefited because he's got all kinds of new shelving and new refrigerators.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got this new pastry refrigerator.
Uh-oh. Well, and they have a
not for long.
They have a counter where they have fresh foods that you
can buy. Oh yeah, the deli is phenomenal. You can actually have a meal. They have tables. You can sit down.
Great place for lunch and
casual
snack or tea.
I just want to encourage people to find their local health food store because I know there's one struggling somewhere in your community.
We're going to love to give Paul the bill for this five-minute commercial.
I know.
This is the preview commercial.
But, Lisa and I have been talking a lot, and we feel like this year part of our theme and underlying message, if there is such a thing for the year, is about being local wherever
Absolutely.
You are. And we
local is the new black.
right. Local is the new pink.
Actually, local is the new organic.
I think it's an important trend, and I know Paul is really
Paul's
twisting
Come
over
on.
Here because that local trumping organic is a tough one for me. They're both important.
And
you should strive for both.
Well, all right. Here's a question for you. And I put this out on Facebook, and I got a lot of responses in the Facebook quiz thing. If you are at a local farmer's market. And you or no, let's say not whatever. Let's say you have a choice between local food or organic food. Which one is
more? Yeah, it's
more,
tough.
Right?
It's tough. Yeah, they impact in different ways. And certainly local has more of a greenhouse gas or climate change impact if you can lessen the food miles traveled. But, you know, it pains me to think that it's the local environment in which you live that you're now kind of endorsing the use of pesticides and chemicals on the food and going into the waterways.
There is good news about
yes,
that.
Yes, there
you
is.
Know, the Food Shed Alliance out here, mm-hmm. you know, in our region, taught me a few years ago that in our region, at least, and I'm sure it's happening everywhere, I hope it is, that many of the local farms are in what they call transition.
Oh, yeah.
They're not
transition.
Able to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of asking at your farmer's market or wherever you're buying local food. Like, well, you know, tell me about how you produce this stuff.
Right.
And most of them will say they're in transition now, which is what I would and I would honor that. I'd say,
and it's
okay.
very important to support those farmers that are in the transition because they need to make ends meet financially. And, you know, you shouldn't have to wait for certification to show your support and derive the benefits.
I'm scrambling to find where I read this. I just read an article yesterday that there's a new movement to have a certification for natural farming, which would accommodate that information. So
there is a certification. There is a certified natural farming technique that let's see. I think most recently Totten Family Farms. I think Ben spoke of. Kristen and Kyle, who are going to be moving over to Flocktown Farms on Ben's farm in Long Hill. But they use the certified natural certification, and it works for some. I compare it to the standard that the U.S. Green Building Council's LEED certification. Some people choose not to go through the hoops and pay the fee to have LEED certification,
but they're
building to LEED standards.
Yeah.
So we've raised the bar, hopefully both in sustainable agriculture and in sustainable building design to the point where at least people are striving for that accreditation, even if they don't pursue it.
And when I think local, it is so much more to me than just the food, although that's obviously a big aspect of it. To me, it is about visiting your local small, you know, mom and pop hardware store. There's a couple hardware stores around us that, you know, we could go to Home Depot and probably round up everything and maybe pay a couple cents less. But we love going to and that when we know that they're so friendly and they appreciate your showing up.
Absolutely. And we can speak to the other end of that in Morristown, where we, you know, our last independent hardware store just closed after nearly 100 years.
Whoa.
And it's a real loss. It really is. It is very sad. So absolutely important to support.
Like, the Anchor Hardware Store, Lisa, remember that place? Like, you could get lost in that. You know, really. It was almost scary when I was little going in there. But now, you know.
And it was so impressive that the guys that worked there knew exactly where everything was.
I couldn't believe
they
knew.
You'd walk in with your bolt and say, I need another one of these. And they'd wander down these aisles and find it for you.
Well, and we know that the kind of shop local has been around for a while, supporting the local economy. We know that's important. Certainly people have gotten on the eat local, supporting local farmers and farmers markets and food sheds.
And restaurants that buy
from restaurants. And now we're seeing a movement towards investing local as well.
Yeah.
I think that's kind
like
of the next
slow
craze.
Thing,
and
right?
slow money and credit unions and yeah, absolutely.
Well, I just think it's so important for so many reasons other than economic sustainability and, like, I don't know. I feel like it's almost morally correct, but I also think it's like a security issue to a degree, right? The more
absolutely food, the USDA and Homeland Security actually are looking at food security as a very important element.
So creating local regional facilities.
If the infrastructure somehow is affected by either a natural disaster or outside influence, you certainly want the food system to be intact.
I found it. I found the article. It's called Certified Naturally Grown. And it's a nonprofit organization that offers farmers an alternative way for consumers about their growing practices. And so it's CNG, and they have a label that you can start to become familiarized with and look for it.
Okay,
on
with
your
that. I am okay with that, and I think it's just a matter of becoming more aware and asking questions, whether it's your local supermarket, your local farmers market.
Yeah, and we've seen the consumer influence on some of the largest farmers in the area. Take Allstead Farms in Chester, huge, huge independent farm, that because of consumer demand over the last years has now transformed and added new fields that are to the organic standard. So whether or not they actually switch over all the farmland over time is yet to be seen, but the move into organics by traditional large-scale independent farmers is a really good sign.
There's obviously demand for it, and I'm glad, because not only do I want to eat organic and I want to eat local, but I want those chemicals and pesticides not to be draining into our aquifers and for the deer and the local little animals to be eating it, you know, whatever.
So for those listeners that we've made anxious for the coming farmers market season and access to local food, we want to remind you that a week from today, on February 11th at Morristown High School, Slow Food Northern New Jersey is holding their winter harvest, where you can go and get all kinds of meats and honeys. And some farmers still have produce in the field.
Are they selling any canned?
They're selling all kinds of things, yeah. I think you can probably go on the slowfoodnnj.org website and get some of the details. But some of our favorite farmers from the markets in the area will be there, and it's a great way to support them in the off season and refill the cupboards with things you may have run out.
You know, I'm sure so many communities have some, you know, farmers, you know, that
absolutely
have stuff throughout the year.
I'm not familiar. In central to southern Jersey, there is a community now that has a year round market.
Well, the other thing is now just to drop this in the bucket, that CSAs, Community Supported Agriculture, now is the time to sign up for a share for next year. And even, like our Genesis Farm here in Blairstown, they do have shares that go year-round because they
absolutely
do have products. You know?
And there will be CSA shares available for purchase at the Winter Harvest event at Morristown High School on Early Street in Morristown this coming
Saturday.
As
opposed to Late Street? I know, my attempt at humor too early this morning. I'm sorry.
So it's noon to 4. Next weekend.
Now, we have a wonderful guest today. Our feature guest, who will be calling in later, is Carol Westinghouse. She's the president of Informed Green Solutions, and she is a wonderful advocate and an educator in how eco-friendly purchases can impact our human health and environments. And she works a lot with school systems and commercial buildings and organizations and communities in transitioning.
We'll tell you about her very, very user-friendly website, which gives...
Isn't it?
It's very helpful if you just want answers and quick ways to get involved and make
and
the
shift. And
she's
got some interesting news from Vermont. Well, we'll hear a little bit about what the Vermont legislature is getting green. I think it's a great idea. And if anybody wants to call us at any point today, please do. We'd love to hear from you. 973-267-9687. Again, that's 973-267-9687. You can go to our Facebook page at any point, message us, like us, and I put the number there today. So, What else? Oh, we have the eco-friendly printer Know Your Green quiz coming up. We had kind of a tough question this week. Mm. Only one person got it right.
Oh yeah, yeah. We had a lot of tries, but only one got it right. And we knew this would be a surprise because it shocked the heck out of us when we.
It was a little stunning. And it's lending to another big conversation which we're having next week or in the next couple of weeks about farming and all that fun stuff. Farm Bill. We still have our G2 Organics giveaway, and we got the basket from G2 Organics now because we're getting ready.
Ooh,
and Lisa was like opening it up the other day.
You guys better sign up quick because we...
She was going to use it. And I said, no, that's our gift basket.
I thought it was a trial for us. We get lots of those.
Go to our Facebook page, like us, mention...
G2 Organics.
And you will be in the running. We do have a lot of folks that are in the running. And when we hit 3,000 on our Facebook page, so get all your friends to sign up.
Hurry up, because it's very tempting sitting there on our in our headquarters.
I know. So stay tuned. We have lots more fun coming up.
Good morning.
What the heck happened to you last night?
Oh, it's just my old mattress. You know, I want one of those memory foam mattresses, but they're so toxic. I really can't go there.
You have to try Essentia. They're the only company making outrageously comfortable, all-natural foam mattresses. You know, like Tempur-Pedic, but healthier.
Really? Essentia?
Really. And I hear they're giving away $300 with the purchase of any mattress if you mention the Green Divas radio show. Find a store near you at myessentia.com.
Our friend Greg, the eco-friendly printer, is doing a new weekly Know Your Green quiz with the Green Divas.
He's got some great prizes from folks like Zipcar, Green Apple Cleaners, and TechSurf to give away every week.
Every Saturday on the radio, we'll announce the previous week's winners and the next week's quiz. You can get all the details on thegreendivas.com.
And even if you don't win, you might just learn something.
Meanwhile, please visit ecofriendlyprinter.com to find out what printing green really means.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
Okay, our token testosterone today is green dude Paul.
Hello.
He's trying to be a green diva today. It's very cute with his little 5 o'clock shadow thing and his deep voice. Anyway, welcome back to the Green Divas.
10 a.m. shadow. Please.
I know,
like,
I know.
Manly.
I don't even, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
True.
Isn't that what alcoholics say? Anyway, welcome back to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lisa.
And?
Green Dude Paul.
Green Dude Paul.
Got
and we
wrong
got
the first time
Silent
around.
Jesse. finally made it.
Beautiful
into the
eyebrows,
studio.
By the way.
Aren't they perfect?
Yeah, they're really, really nice. Where did you get those done?
She's silent, but we'll tell you she got them done at the European Wax Center.
Oh.
But not ours. She was in Staten Island, so.
Okay.
So she's going to come back and go to the one in Denville, New Jersey, and mention the Green Divas.
All right. Well, you know what it's time for.
Sleeping naked is green. At least Vanessa Farquharson, who wrote the book, thought so. Using her hilarious book, we will explore and expand on some of the 366 journal entries where she shares her year-long journey of trying new ways of being green on a daily basis. This segment is brought to you by Essentia, the only natural memory foam mattress in the world. MyEssentia.com. And of course, the Green Divas radio show.
Okay. So the first entry Vanessa has in February was shovel snow by hand and use sand instead of salt. And this woman gets a lot of credit for this one because she lives in Canada. So she probably does deal with quite a bit of snow, right?
Uh-huh. And interestingly enough, when I was doing a little my repurposing research, which I do every week, they were talking about taking the old cans of cooking spray, not aerosol, hopefully you don't have aerosol, but take your cooking spray and spray both sides of the shovel before you use it, and it won't have that sticky buildup, and it'll just make the snow slide right off.
Slippery snow.
Whee! I know when I got here last year at this time, we had so much snow.
Yeah, it was.
And I was staying with my sister, and I was all excited because I got here in December and all this beautiful snow. And
in the snow.
I was the first one up. I'll go shovel. I love being outside. I needed the exercise. And she would roll her eyes and go, I don't believe it, because she had already been shoveling.
Yeah, so you're not feeling that way by the end of the year. But here.
I still did.
I know. You're so cute. shoveling ideas, some eco-friendly shoveling ideas if you have to use a snowblower, okay? Because some people feel, I know.
But if you have to, apparently,
the electric ones are a little easier on the ozone layer, people.
Yes, you can feel totally secure, particularly if you contract for green energy. Then there's really no downside.
Employ your neighborhood kids. There's got to be some kids looking for some money, some energetic, strong young kids, right? take the opportunity to get some exercise. But, of course, please be cautious if you're very out of shape or you've experienced any, you know, cardiac symptoms, as we learned, because that's how we found out Wayne had a problem.
Right.
He thought he was having heartburn until that day in October when he came in the back door from shoveling and said, something's not right.
Right.
And the next
and
week
apparently
we
that does happen often.
Yeah, it's kind of
But
scary.
If you're in good shape and you want to use this as exercise, be sure to alternate your hands while you shovel so you get a full-rounded workout.
There you go. Get out early and often and keep on top of it during a big
Absolutely.
Storm, right? It's like use an ergonomic shovel to minimize back injury. And I found one that was kind of cool called a snow wovel. Yeah, I thought it was kind of silly, but it's got this giant wheel on it, so you don't really have to bend at all. It's very interesting, and I'd be curious to try one.
Yeah, I have one of the ergonomic shovels, and they do work quite well.
Yeah.
You have the wovel?
But you don't have the wovel.
I do not have
I'm
the
telling
wovel,
you, you got
to
check out the wovel.
Wovel.
Does your shovel have a wheel on it?
No.
Okay. Now, we're going to have information on that on the website. Now, we go to for ice, okay? Ice is also a big
Very
issue.
Very important.
Please avoid rock salt or sodium chloride.
And why should we avoid that?
Well, I have like 100 reasons, but I'll just kind of run through a couple of them. The salt can leach heavy metals and then carry them into the soil and water supplies. Not good. It builds up in the soil just like fertilizer. Salt runoff from sidewalks and streets can increase the salinity in local bodies of water, causing long-term damage. It's not good for our animals' paws. It can corrode roads, walkways, vehicles, like the list goes on and on.
I found it interesting that it can attract animals to the road for the salt.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I saw that and I went, wow, that's worth mentioning, right? Don't bother with kitty litter, fireplace ashes. I give you a couple of reasons why that's kind of not helpful at all. Salt doesn't melt the ice, but it does create traction. And oh, my God, we're running out of time.
You can find about all of this information on our website, thegreendivas.com.
Check it out.
Well, that was fun. Remember to tune in to the Green Divas radio show next week to hear another installment of Sleeping Naked is Green, based on the book by Vanessa Farquharson. This segment was sponsored by Essentia, the outrageously comfortable natural memory foam mattress, so you can sleep green and healthy. Find out more at myessentia.com.
All right. Yeah, I had so much information on that. And when we first talked about doing that segment, we're like, how much could there be on, you know, shoveling eco-friendly?
That's kind of a regular problem we have. There's so much really important information about stuff.
So little time.
Simple things we do in life.
All right. So then now Valentine's Day is coming up. And, you know, let's think about what might be a really fun eco-friendly Valentine's thing, Lisa.
Chocolate. How do we feel about chocolate?
Yeah, we all feel good about it. Wayne's allergic to it, but that's just too darn bad. I'm not.
I love organic chocolate.
Yeah,
well,
right?
Okay,
fair trade.
So
fair
there
trade.
Are so many reasons to buy chocolate because it's medicinal. It's healthy for you if you buy the right chocolates. So stay away from white chocolate. Stay away from milk chocolate. Buy chocolate
really
that has...
Bummer.
The better.
But it's so much better for you. At least 65% cacao, that and above. And then when you buy it, please, please, please think about buying fair trade chocolate. Most stores, most of the candy bars that are fair trade will have it marked on there. And Megan, why do we want to use fair trade?
Well, going back to, we did a segment on fair trade a while ago when we kind of came up with this definition that fair trade is a socially responsible market-based standard for products made in developing countries where, you know, and chocolate is one of those products that primarily comes. And the working conditions and pay may not be regulated and may be considered unfair or unjust to the workers. It creates better trading conditions whereby socioeconomic and environmental sustainability are a priority, and the producers derive a more direct and substantial benefit from their work.
Okay, back to the medicinal reasons.
I'm curious about
that. And when you buy chocolate, stay away from chocolate that has real sugar in it or corn syrup or any of that stuff. Look for the ones that have agave and coconut and maple syrup and alternatives and stevia or things like that.
More natural. Yeah.
And then if you do all of that, it becomes medicinal and you get to
eat extra.
Eat extra. Yeah. The recommendation that I read was about 3.5 ounces, which is a small candy bar, but they're talking about every day. And it is about 400 calories, so you may have to trade off with some of the other calories that you get. But it's good for your heart. It's good at lowering cholesterol, the bad stuff, the LDL, which is you want to get rid of that, and it lowers it up to about 10%. It stimulates your endorphins, which is another good thing.
I need to stimulate my endorphins. Mm-hmm.
A third of the fat is the same kind of fat that you'll get in olive oil, and about a third of the fat is neutral, and it has a neutral effect, so it's not bad or good for you.
Okay.
There is about a third of it that's not so good for you, so you're only getting a third of bad fat when you make that choice. But there are about 300 chemicals and compounds that are in each bite, actually.
And oh my God!
So. You look for
many bites,
and some of those chemicals are good as antioxidants, which we all know. And the flavonoids are what they're really rich in, and what's really good for you. And that's what lowers your blood pressure, and the things that improve your heart function.
Wow!
And those are the same kinds of things that you look for. They're in good chocolates in good company with cranberries, apples, onions, tea, and red wine.
Go ahead.
Really interesting way to get those nutrients and antioxidants. If you haven't tried the cocoa nibs.
I have a little bag of those in my office.
Yeah, they're quite interesting. They're raw. You get a lot of fiber in it because it hasn't been processed into the candy
nibs.
Type chocolate.
What's up with the name? What's a nib?
I think they just break it into little pieces. So it's little nibs.
It's a pretty pure cacao.
It's amazing.
If you're used to milk chocolate, it'll take you a little while maybe to get used to the flavor. But once you get used to it is quite the treat in the middle of the day.
What happens when you cook it? Because, I love Mexican. I like mole, which uses, not milk chocolate. You use, you can use some really good chocolate for that. I wonder.
There are some wonderful Mexican chocolates that are all natural that they come in little cakes that you melt down to use in sauces, and they're big on hot cocoa. They like their hot cocoa as well.
Really?
So think chocolate for
Valentine's
Day. Is hot
cocoa good for us, you think?
It depends on, I prefer not to have animal protein, so I make my hot chocolate with almond milk, and I use as pure a cacao as I can get with as little bit of sweetener, and I think that's got to be okay.
Well, I like the way you trained me to do it with the maple syrup and cocoa. You kind of mix it up in the bottom of a coffee mug.
It's an Oriental recipe, and it's for your ching, and you
chi?
No,
ki?
No, it's your or ki. Yeah. It's your ki that it's.
Your ching.
Oh, whatever, ching king.
It came out funny.
Oops. But you really use same amount of cocoa, just cocoa and maple syrup, and you mix it into a little paste in the bottom of your coffee, and then your key expands.
Yeah, so you use coffee instead of, and it's the only kind of coffee I like that doesn't have some kind of milk, like I use soy milk now in my coffee. I love that. That's like my new weekend coffee addiction.
Right. Coffee is another product that you can look for fair trade.
Oh, yeah.
It's really important. You can find that in plenty of places now.
Absolutely.
So that's my report.
So the all-chocolate diet sounds good.
I could work more chocolate into my world, pretty happily.
But, just make sure it's the good kind.
Yeah.
Some of the chocolates, there's one, and I'm kicking myself for forgetting the name. You can get it at Whole Foods. It's in the freezer section only. It is so medicinal. And if you get chocolate with agave instead of other sugars, it doesn't have that peak have. Your blood sugar peak and stuff. So, but this one, it has virgin coconut oil and agave, and it's the flavors are fantastic.
It almost sounds sexy. I think, that sounds like a Valentine's Day, treat. Right?
I'm down with that.
Now,
it's a busy time of year for the chocolatiers.
Have you ever tried chocolate with stevia in it?
I have not.
Okay. Just wondering. Just saying. Because I pretty much, you know, the primary kind of sweetener that I use these days is stevia.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten used to it and, you know, coffee and stuff. Just curious.
Nope, haven't tried
that.
I'm
going to have to find it. Well, if anybody out there has tried it with stevia, let me know, please.
The other reports that I was going to do for Take Two, we've already talked about, which was the certification, which I had just read about, and shoveling.
Shoveling. Okay, back to the shoveling thing. This wheel, I'm telling you.
It's big.
It's like this big. And it's the shovel kind of goes over it. Mm-hmm. So and you know, this is so ridiculous.
Just kind of scrape and tip is kind of how it works.
Yeah.
You don't really ever have to quite lift the snow.
Yeah, it's hard to describe on the radio because I'm making all kinds of gestures and stuff. But, you know, you have to trust me.
If you don't have that one, just be careful with your back. You know, you don't want to
lift with your knees.
You want to use your legs and make sure your back has that wonderful curve in it so that you're not straining the wrong muscles.
Paul just sat up straight.
Yes.
That's funny. So, Paul, what's
longing
going on?
Longing for some snow, actually.
Yeah,
I
me too.
Some people don't want to hear
no,
that.
No, no. I really like snow in the winter. I think snow belongs in winter.
Get it out of the way now. So not have it on St. Patrick's Day or something.
Or Easter or Earth Day.
No. Yes, Earth. Nice transition.
Right?
We've done this before.
Segway, baby.
Yeah, we're really excited that the Green Divas are going to be joining us as media sponsors for the Earth Day experience in Morristown. So mark your calendars. April 22nd, the actual anniversary of Earth Day, falls on a Sunday this year. And we'll be at the 14 Maple Avenue Green Building in Morristown and the solar and geothermal-powered parking garage that attaches to it with all kinds of music
cool.
And food and garage sale and a hybrid electric auto show.
And the Sustainable Expo.
And the Sustainable Living Expo with the Green Divas. Yeah, yeah. We're very, very excited. And thank you so much.
I get very excited when talking about that garage. Mm-hmm. And having the event there.
Yeah, it's kind of silly.
We'll be doing building tours of the building. If you've not seen this building, it's just phenomenal. It's got a 3-story interior bio wall that actually helps clean the air. There's some reference to it. Give a shout out to this week's grassroots section if you're interested in the Daily Record on Thursday. Was an overview of all kinds of wonderful sustainability things going on in the county seat of Morris County here at Morristown. And the Dodge Foundation does a little piece on their commitment to sustainable communities, and they've been wonderfully generous supporters of so many activities. And Margaret Waldock, the new environment director there, did a nice piece on the building, and definitely mark that April 22nd date to get a glimpse of the building with one of the builders, actually.
Isn't that building lead, like platinum
it's a lead
or something?
Sort of, you know, I believe it probably fell in somewhere around gold because they certified it as a single development. So the building
so
on its own probably would have achieved platinum, but when you put a parking garage, very difficult to maintain that highest level standard.
It's just amazing. They have, you know, water collection on the roof that they use
green
for
roof
seeing eye dog folks, right?
And container gardens on the roof as well, where the folks at the Dodge Foundation grow vegetables and herbs in the summer and have lunch up on the roof. It's like a park on the roof. It's like another habitat.
I think we should have an office there, don't you?
Yes, I do.
It's a very nice building. I was blessed enough to be there for a couple of years while at the Morristown Partnership and get to visit quite often. Our friends at the Arts Council are there and others. We wanted to give people another date as well. On March 1st, there is a Green Drinks. Sustainable Morristown is hosting a social opportunity for people to come by and talk with other like-minded folks that care about the environment and sustainability, and it's kind of a launch date for our Sustainable Jersey recertification.
And you know what I love? The Green Drinks, they're everywhere. I think it started in San Francisco. They have them in Manhattan, and
we
I'm
just
sure
missed
all
one.
Kinds of cities in between.
Absolutely.
But for your local community, look for Green Drinks, and if you don't have one, start one.
Yeah, locally, Bernardsville or Basking Ridge,
Livingston. There was one just last week in Livingston, which unfortunately I missed.
And we try and showcase local craft breweries and wineries and organic lines as well, because we want to be consistent with our message and values.
And let me just say, you don't have to drink.
Absolutely
you can
not.
Just show That's, up and be part of the scene. There's
you
a
can
lot
be
of
be the
folks.
Designated driver.
Yeah.
That's right. That
and we have exhibits. We'll have different tabletop exhibits so people can find out what others are doing.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there in March.
Absolutely. And then the other date that was set this week, very exciting, is the next in the series of the Morris County Sunday Supper Series, sponsored by the Grassroots Section. It's March 25th. And this one's going to be a little bit more intimate than the first. It's only 50 people. It's at the Black Horse Tavern in Mendham that's just switched over to an all-farm fresh
menu.
Yeah, the Villa Enterprises are going to be switching everything over. George and Martha's in Morristown.
Great. Tell me again what it's called.
It's the Morris County Sunday Supper Series. Say that three times fast.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm very impressed with you.
There'll be a number. I think there'll be six chefs. It's a six-course plus dessert sit-down dinner with the chefs doing the demonstrations right in front of you and talking about the sourcing.
So I want to encourage people to, if they're not local and you haven't picked up the Grassroots Section from Thursday, go online next week. You'll read Paul. You wrote a piece?
Yeah, actually, yeah. They delay a week. Publishing online. Yeah. But yeah, next week you'll be able to read the articles from the Unity Charter School, from Grow at Green Morristown, from Morristown Medical Center. The hospital is doing great
that.
Stuff.
And our very own Dodge Paul. Foundation.
And I put a little
Green
piece
dude.
In there, too.
Green Diva Dude.
That's right. I can
Green.
Not only talk, I can
Green
write.
Dude.
All right. Well, listen, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be on with Carol Westinghouse. So please stay tuned.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
Concerned about all the plastic accumulating in our world? I am.
Hey, Meg, I have to get some presents, and of course I have to buy green. Got any ideas where to go?
Yeah, buygreen.com is my favorite place to shop online for anything green. Here, check this out.
Ooh, look at that great rating system.
It's simple, clear, look at all the goodies. One-stop shopping for home or office.
Ooh, wait, did you see that bag?
Buygreen.com, a Green Diva's trusted source for great green shopping. The world consumes over 600 billion pounds of plastic annually, and it does not biodegrade for hundreds of years. Plastic isn't good for the environment, but it is nearly impossible to live and interact in this world without it. Here are a couple of solutions for no use or reuse of plastic. Turn plastic Ziploc baggies inside out and toss them in a cold laundry, but please don't put them in the dryer. Many companies are using biodegradable plastic for bottling. Look for them. Seriously, please try to remember your reusable grocery bags. Leave the plastic bags at the store.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
All right, welcome back to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lisa.
And Green Dude Paul.
Green Dude Paul. And Silent Jesse waving over there. So anyway, all right, we got Carol Westinghouse, who's the president of Informed Green Solutions, safer indoor environments through purchasing decisions. Let's talk to Carol. Hey, Carol.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Good. Thanks so much for calling in. It sounds like you're a very busy woman.
Yes, I am. Sometimes way too busy.
Well, great that you could take some time out to let us know what you're doing with Informed Green Solutions.
Well, I could tell I was with the right group as I was listening to the broadcast earlier. Of course, I'm stationed in Vermont. That's where I live and my home office is.
Yeah, I have to ask you where in Vermont. I've spent lots and lots of time in Vermont.
Me too.
I'm north of St. Johnsbury, between Lindenville and Eastburg.
I used to live in St. Johnsbury for about 7 months.
Yes, and I'm sure that you're glad you're not here in the winter.
Well, I would like to be there part-time in the winter.
We've just learned how to shovel.
Yeah, we're learning how to shovel eco-friendly.
Right. Well, of course, as you know, Vermont's all about local food, eating local, shopping at co-ops. And I think maybe a little bit ahead of some other areas in this regard.
Yeah, I think so.
We use Vermont as our inspiration here.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Well, I lived in the Berkshires for a long time, and we were right up there starting this stuff in the 80s.
How did you get started with this mission of yours?
Well, I could actually go back and follow up a little bit about the eating part of it and eating locally and say I grew up on a family farm in the Finger Lakes area of New York State. And my mother was very much into organic food, even though our farm used conventional farming methods because my father was a Cornell-trained farmer. My mother was very much into the Del Davis and the whole organic food movement. And so I pretty much grew up that way. And I was thinking this morning when you were talking about co-ops that I've actually been shopping at co-ops for 40 years.
Yeah.
As have I.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to think about that. So that's kind of my background. And then I was working as an administrator of OSHA programs for manufacturing facilities here in New England.
Cool.
I have a degree in environmental science. And my son went into a brand new school. He was the kindergarten class that went into the brand new school. And he started having health issues. Because I was familiar with indoor air quality and environmental health and safety, I immediately started doing some research and realized that all of the materials that they had used in the school, such as the carpeting, drapes, furniture, flooring, were emitting different kinds of chemicals.
Yikes, yeah.
Outgassing.
And so that's when I became really interested in indoor air quality in schools. And it was ironic that at that same time there was a legislative subcommittee that was looking into the issue because there had been a lot of people, teachers and students, that were suffering from the effects of poor indoor air quality. And we actually had one student here in the Northeast Kingdom that almost died because of it was an unvented technical center, and they were doing different kinds of automobile work. And so that really brought the issue to the forefront. And so I got on this indoor air quality subcommittee, and we generated a report that resulted in Act 125, which set up a program in Vermont called the Envision Program. The only problem with it was that it was voluntary rather than mandatory.
Right.
We could not get the legislature to pass it as a mandatory legislation. So we have, it's not been as successful as we hoped it would be, but we have had the Envision Program that we can use and educate schools about. And it's been a framework that we've been able to use.
I looked at your website, and I say it again. I think it's a great user-friendly website, and there's some fabulous information for anybody who wants to get involved in their schools. And if I had young kids in a school, I'd be sending that link to everybody in the PTA.
Thank you.
And it's not just for schools. I mean, it's for any building or organization that wants to transition, right?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah, workplace environments are very important. We spend so much of our lives in those spaces.
Some of the things I particularly liked were the pocket size guide.
Yes. I'm glad people are finding that helpful.
I think that's awesome. And then I love the respiratory hazards. Some of the things that I learned that you wouldn't really
know.
The respiratory hazards of these urinal blocks. I mean, who knew? Who would?
I did.
Yeah, right. See, we wouldn't know. Yeah.
Us girls maybe didn't know that.
The green dude issue.
I want to ask one question that I think our listeners might be interested in: why not antibacterials and why not antimicrobials?
Well, there's a lot of controversy about these. And you probably looked at my hand hygiene sheet, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's on the website. But what we found when we did some research on the issue was that there had been some research done, and they actually found that using hand sanitizers and all of these things weren't really any better than just washing our hands with soap and water.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how at least I grew up, learning that washing my hands frequently after performing certain activities was really important.
I love your instructions. You have a little instructions on washing hands. Do you want to share?
That's right. Well, maybe you're talking about singing the song.
I did. Yes, exactly.
Oh, the happy birthday one?
The instructions are what? 15 to 20 seconds vigorously, which is about the same amount of time as singing the ABCs.
Oh, ABCs. All right.
Never have too much practice.
It's such a great thing that all children can do.
I've heard it that happy birthday, that you sing happy birthday to yourself twice. I thought that was kind of silly.
And you're only washing your hands once a year.
That's clever, Paul.
But, you know, washing our hands is really the same thing as any kind of cleaning. So what we need for cleaning is some kind of a detergent or soap and friction. And so when we rub our hands together, that's where we're getting the friction that takes the organic matter off our hands. And it's the same thing with cleaning. You have to have that friction, and that's what gets rid of the dried on materials or whatever's on your surface. Right. So it's pretty common sense stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oh, go ahead. I was just going to ask about air fresheners. You know, I know that's an issue that we kind of forget about, but that are often used in public places.
It is an issue. And as a matter of fact, that kind of leads into a big success that we've had here in Vermont.
Oh, yeah.
I heard you allude to it a little bit earlier, but our legislature just passed a green cleaning bill for schools.
Yay!
We were the 10th state in the country to pass a green cleaning bill. There are other states that have bills pending, and there are also some guidelines that states have passed for schools because they didn't want to make it mandatory. We have an issue in our country. We don't like to mandate a lot of things to our schools because they're already mandated so much by the federal government and state programs.
Sure.
And so we don't like to mandate other little smaller things. And so a lot of states don't want to make it mandatory, but they're trying to encourage schools to pass legislation.
Wow.
Here in Vermont, we used a different approach than had been used before, and this was because of our House Education Committee. The bill originally had talked about schools should only use greener products, third-party certified products is what we call it.
Okay.
And the House actually changed the wording to state that the distributors of cleaning products would only be able to sell third-party certified products to schools. So it took the mandate off the schools, but it got the same result.
Interesting. I like it. I think I'm watching Paul. You know,
yeah,
let's
absolutely.
Get active here in New Jersey, right?
Absolutely. No, actually, some of the schools are already doing that. I don't believe it's mandated here, but certainly shows like this and all of the ways that we communicate with the public to instill these kinds of responsibilities and introduce the options and solutions, which is most important.
Right, right.
We're so thankful of the services you're providing for us.
Is
I think once parents are educated that their children could be in an unhealthy or unsafe environment, they're going to take the logical steps to correct it.
Well, and obviously you've helped inform and provide solutions for the distributors, so to make it an easy transition so they're not freaking out. Obviously, it's not any more expensive necessarily for them, right?
That's right, yes. It's cost neutral for the schools. And we had great support from all of the distributors here in Vermont. Some of them came in and testified to the legislators, and they were really all on board with it. We're actually planning a series of workshops that they have agreed to support and sponsor for the schools so that the custodial staff understand the environmental health reasons
right.
behind going to the green products and then understands what the bill is all about.
And who could be more motivated than the the custodial staff that has to deal with these chemicals all the time anyway.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's right, because what research tells us is that custodial workers are at greater risk for occupational asthma, than other occupations. So it is definitely in their best interest to use the least toxic products possible.
Wow.
Yeah.
And asthma really is, kind of the lens or the perspective that we look at this through, because we know that 1 out of every 10 school-age child has asthma. Here in Vermont, it's even higher. We don't know why, but New England seems to have very high asthma rates. And so we definitely look at controlling all of the possible asthma triggers in a school as being something that's very important. Asthma is the leading cause of school absenteeism.
Wow.
So it's of great interest to try and eliminate any triggers that might be in a school.
Well, and one could conclude that in New England, where I believe the air is a little cleaner, so it's the air pollution outside, I think, is less than it would be, let's say, in New Jersey. But in the winter, you're inside more in New England because it's a little colder, right? So it would
That's
be the
right.
indoor air quality that we've got to deal with.
Yes, that certainly is part of the issue. The other part is that we do get pollution coming in from the mid-states, the middle of the country, particularly the coal-fired power plant.
Oh, yeah.
Never know till the wind blows.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so we don't really know,
yeah.
What is causing it.
What a bummer.
But we do know that a lot of these cleaning products that are used in schools
help.
May contain asthmogens.
Ooh.
And there was a great study that the Environmental Working Group did.
Mm-hmm. Love them.
Love
That's
them.
A great website. Yeah.
I love them, too. They are fantastic. And what they found, they actually looked at 21 products that were used in 13 large California school districts.
Wow.
And they evaluated what these products were emitting. And it was really a fantastic study. They found that they were actually, I'm trying to get to my notes here, and a lot of these are products that are used in homes also.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
just
yeah.
institutional cleaning products.
Well, you know, we can post that information, Carol. We're going to post it on our website under our links and resources for the show. We're going to obviously link to your website, which is informedgreensolutions.org.
That's right.
And if there's anything that we've talked about that you think of, like this EWG report, and can think of it, email it to us, and we'll make sure that we post it this afternoon. But we have to run. We could talk all day with you.
Well,
thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you for all the great work you're doing, and keep up the good work, and we'll stay in touch.
Stay warm.
You too.
Thanks, Carol. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Wow. Yeah. There's just so much great information. She seems to be really in the middle of and
it's accessible information. So if yeah. parents are concerned about what's going on in their own school,
right.
they can capture that information and use it.
Get active, man.
Get active.
All right. So
those
now
school board meetings.
Oh, yeah. PTA,
hey.
Baby. Eco-friendly printer, know your green quiz.
Ooh,
number 7, people.
Hurry up on that. Woo-hoo.
This week's quiz was a little bit tough. Oh, no, this is number 6, I guess. Which of the following receives the most dollars, the most money from the USDA Farm Bill? A, commodity crops. B, conservation. C, food stamps. Or D, none of the above. Tick, tock, tick, tock.
And the answer is,
it makes you guess with that D, you know.
Right? Like, oh, maybe. Well, we were surprised, but it's number C, food stamps, which I had heard before, but it is always a stunning statistic that surprises me, that the USDA Farm Bill goes to food stamps, like most of it. I mean, and boy, the subsidies and commodity crops get a lot. So food stamps are a big issue. We're going to be talking about this in a couple of weeks with the director of the American Farmland Trust.
Great.
I'm a big food farm bill kind of freak. Like, I really think it's more important than we think. And right now, with all the budget cutting, I think there are It's an opportunity to make some changes that can really benefit small regional family-owned farms, farmers markets, right?
Absolutely.
It's going to be so – we really need to get the word out and people to understand, because it's going to be so critical in terms of what's going on with lobbyists.
I will just say really quick that the only thing that I agreed with George Bush on, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, was that he was a real advocate of trimming down the farm bill and going local. And he put a lot of effort into farmers markets getting more a piece of the pie. I was stunned, and I'm really glad for it. Now, we had one person get this right, because it was kind of a tricky question.
Right.
Kirby J. Pellegrin. Yay, Kirby.
Congratulations.
Yay, Kirby. So he will get a, or she, because honestly, I don't know if Kirby is a man or woman, because that could be anybody, right?
It's a nice name, yeah.
It's a cool name, so I apologize. But Kirby will be getting a $50 gift certificate to our favorite eco-friendly printer, Greg Barber, at Eco-Friendly Printer, who can print almost anything eco-friendly. You don't have to have a big fancy order. You could do some cool personal cards or business cards.
And if you have any questions for him, he loves to be informative. So his number will be on our website.
Now, next week, I just want to mention we have a really fun guest, because we've got Valentine's Day coming up. We're going to be talking to Dr. Love, Dr. Dan Wharton, who's the Senior Vice President of Conservation Science from the Chicago Zoological Society. But he's become well known because he talks a lot about animal
behavior,
and how partnerships.
It reflects.
Yeah. I'm probably not saying it right, but we'll write about it, and it will be fun. Trust me. So thanks for joining in this week. Thank you, Paul, for being here.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Have a great green week.
Great green week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's thegreendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.